Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning on this Thy Sabbath day to come here at the end of another week to worship you. I pray, Lord, as we open the Scripture this morning and we read its pages and we contemplate what is being said here this morning, that we may go away from this place with deeper thoughts, that we can think of things around us in today's current world which will affect our lives. Take us now through the remainder of this service and this Sabbath day. Bless the ones who are not here today. And Heavenly Father, please bless Olivia. You know, give her comfort this morning, Lord. We know she's struggling here today. Take us now through the remainder of this day, and I ask these things in thy name. Amen. I can't do that, Dad. I said to my father about 58 years ago, I can't do that. Why? I'm a cripple. Cripples don't have to work. Work? What's that? I'm a cripple. I'm just going to sit in the corner and not worry about anything. All right. Those of you who have observed, I've got a crook arm. That's the way I was born. For those that don't know me, I'm telling you a little story for the children. Deliberately. This morning. It was 57 years ago, something that happened in this church happened to me back in Sydney. Well, about 52 stories, but I'm only going to deal with one this morning. I can't do that, Lord. I can't mow the lawn. Yes, you can. Every Sunday morning, that was our designated time to do the work in our house because I was born an Adventist. Went to Concord Church all my life. You've got to mow the front lawn. And the front lawn was about an area about as big as this church. Inside here. That was the front lawn, that's the average size block. And down the side was the driveway. And in those days, in the 1950s, you had the old push lawnmower, didn't you? You remember? Push lawnmower, coil cars, the old things, you know. It was my job to mow the front lawn. And if the front lawn wasn't just the front lawn, I didn't have to do anything else, just that front lawn. Nothing else was that. Front lawn. He did the rest, I did the front lawn. But this had a trap in it. Because the front lawn was full of couch. Now, if you know what couch grass is, when you mow the old couch grass lawn, you went over it and the couch grass went down, didn't it? So you had to go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And this took most of Sunday morning for me. Do it with a little catch on, over and back. Oh, I'm going, well, what do you make me do this for, Dad? What do you make me do this for? I should be out the back sitting the other side. I don't need to do this. I'm a cripple, Dad. Can't do it. Can't do it. Too hard. Too hard. Too hard. Buck the system. That's me. Too hard. Much too hard. No. Oh, come on. Do it. Do it. Finish now, Dad. Right, huh? Oh. This bit needs doing again. It's not quite right. That bit, oh, you missed this. Under here. Plant. Better do it again. All the time, the level's getting up. This went on for week after week, year after year, or month, whatever time it was, three times a month, but it always grew worse in the summertime because the grass grew up. In the spring in Sydney, everything just grows. Like that. So it was every 2 weeks, the couch grows. I can't do this, Dad. Yes, you can. Psh, off he goes. I go up, bit more. Then one day, Dad comes home and says to me, you do a good job there. I've got a surprise for you. The old coil cast as it was, the old rotary. I've got a surprise coming your way. You'll see next week. Mow the lawn. Yes, I did, Dad. No idea what was going to come. No idea. He came home from work with a big box. About this big and about that tall. It had Victor written on it. Victor. Oh, what's Victor? Oh, I don't know. Something in a box. Of course, it was all folded up. Might have been some, I don't know, but anyway, Victor, that's the name. You all know what I'm talking about. All folded up in the box. Come out the front on Sunday morning. Yes. I'll show you what you've got to do. The old coil cast was hanging up in the shed down the back. After that Sunday morning, I'll tell you, it never got touched again. For a reason. You'll see why in a minute. reset this thing up, pull the button and put the catcher on, and he says, now, watch me. And he went across this lawn once and came back. And he said, now, he said, do you think you could do that? And I said, yes. I said, I think I can do that, Dad. Pressed the button, he showed me how to work it, and off I went. And I think he sat round the side of the house watching me to make sure I didn't do anything wrong and take my finger off. And I went back and forth, up and down this lawn. And I got it done. And I was thrilled to my bits that I could do something that my father said I could do. My father said, yes, you're a cripple, but you can do something for life. You can make something of yourself. Well, I finished that lawn that morning and I said, now, Dad, what else can I do? Can I do down the side and out the front of the gate and down the back? Yes. Yes, you can do that. Under one condition. What's that? You are not to start the mower at any time when I am not here. Being an 8-year or a 9-year old boy, you know, well, something like this, you don't want a young person starting a lawnmower that could take, you know, damage. I have to be around the house to watch you do it. After that Sunday morning, the next 30 years, he never touched a lawnmower. That was my job. I got to the stage where I was out there in the morning every time I went to school, looking at the grass. Now, come on, grass, grow up a bit. I want to mow you. When are you going to get up so I could mow the top of it? And I was looking forward to it. My father taught me a lesson in life, children, and anyone else. The Lord will teach you something, or our fathers will teach us something in life that is very valuable. My father taught me a lesson that day that I can do something. I can do something for myself if I persevere. And by persevering in life, I'm able to do things today to stand here. Just another little thing I couldn't do. I couldn't write. I used to smudge things. You've heard this story before. Right? I couldn't write. I'm telling this for the visitors. I couldn't write. Because nowadays it was ink wells, you know. Get the ink in. And being a cack-handed, a left-hander, you had to write. See? And as I smudged things. And so I was failed in writing. Then one day I went to school and I was called into the teacher's office and the teacher said to me, use this pen. And it was one of the old first biro minor pens that ever came out. It was built by Marcel Beck back in about 19 when he invented it. The Beck pen. My father said to me, if you write nicely and you pass your writing exam, you can have anything you like. Electric crane, Dad. So I got 62%, I think, something like that. I passed because in those days 50% was considered to be the borderline, you remember? I got 62%. Christmas Day, I got an electric crane for Christmas. I've still got it at home under the bed. The rest is history. But that's just a little story for the children and you. 57 years ago you had your here, I had mine. But my father told me that I could do something in life and could make something of myself. If I was to go and say, today, stand here today, 30 years ago, I'd have laughed at you. No way. Do this. No way. This is how it is. I can do something. So the onus is on us all now to say this, that each of us, we might have problems in life, we might be in a situation where we think we can't do it, but the adage of something else I did here a few months ago, never give up. Never give up. Comes to my mind now. And I was taught never to give up. But the interesting thing is, I'm leading into this now, that our Lord, God, never gives up on us. Never gives up. I've chosen today's title and the particular hymns for one reason. Recently, I was put out of my comfort zone. I had to do something that I wasn't normally familiar with. I had to travel to Sydney in a light commercial truck. On the way up, leaving Melbourne to Sydney, very regularly, you saw signs on the side of the road. Just that. Just that. In that particular order. Stop, rest, revive, survive. Sitting in the back of this vehicle, and it gave me time for about 8 or 9 hours, I had to think about this. And I had the day's presentation in my mind about 3 weeks ago, what I wanted to say. And today, if we look at those three thoughts, stop, rest, revive, survive, if we look at the Bible tells us just those things. Stop, rest, revive, survive. If we go back to Genesis 3:8, you don't have to look it up, God was said that he walks in the cool of the evening. Genesis 3:8 mentions that God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening. I'm not going to go into the rest of the story because you know what happened. In the cool of the evening. Now isn't the cool of the evening a nice time to go out to the garden and look around and sit under the lemon tree or sit under the trees and have a cup of, whatever you want, milkshake or something, enjoy the days? It's lovely. But it's interesting. There's the first thought. Walk in the garden in the cool of the evening. Stop and rest. Sometimes as we get a bit older, we need to stop more often than we did when we were, say, 25, 30 years ago. Takes me now longer to push the Victor. Yes, I still do. Still know how. Push the Victor over the lawns, and it did maybe 10 or 15 years ago. But it's interesting. Takes you longer. Look at another passage in the Bible. I'm not going to say what, well, I will. Exodus 28-12. It says, remember the Sabbath day, a day of rest and worship. I'm not going to look it up, I've got it down here. Remember this, a day of rest and a day of worship. Once again, our bodies need rest. Man is a very inventive thing. For in this particular vehicle that I was going up to Sydney in, it had one of those things called a tom-tom. And it tells you where to go without the aid of Gregory's or UBD or whatever. It told you where you had to go. And it was interesting that every 2 hours or so the thing would beep and tell you it's time to stop. But it was very, very interesting because when you stopped, when you took a nap where you were, if you were going up, say, the Hume Highway, 2 hours you stopped, you looked, and there as you were going through Wangaratta, you looked on either side of the road, guess what you saw on either side of the road? A big M in the sky on both sides of the highway. A big M. Golden Arches, it was there. So, there it was. Rest. Stop, rest. Do what you have, all the other stuff, and carry on. The interesting thing was that when you got there, everything was all animated. Inside. Except the conveniences, of course, but everything was all go, 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 go. You got on your way. But the interesting thing is that got me this particular trip was this. The distance between Melbourne and Sydney now is 842 kilometres by the Hume Highway. Knocked down from about 956 by taking out all the bends and putting in the freeway. There is now less than 18 kilometres of old dual highway. It's all freeway. And so you can leave Melbourne or Sydney late in the afternoon, say 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can be in your destination in Melbourne or Sydney by 9 or 10 o'clock at night. That's technology. Is technology that way today? Man's technology is this. You know, technology is a wonderful thing. But the one thing is this. God created the earth in 7 days, but he rested on the seventh. Six days. He rested on the seventh. Just the same as I need, and you, mental rest. Now, one of the things I like to do of a night time on a Friday night is to go home, kick the shoes under the table, send them in the corner, and forget they're there. Shut the door and go to bed. After I study the lesson, I do what I have to. No television, nothing, just bed. Rest. To be refreshed for the Sabbath day. Because if you're refreshed for the Sabbath day, I find you're more beneficial for it. And so, as I've thought about these words today, what I was going to say, stop, rest, revive, survive. Please excuse my colouring in some of the coloured whiteboard markers decided they want a holiday. Or need to go to heaven or something. Anyway, that's my main thought. My main thought is when I was travelling up thinking about this today, that the whole scripture is this. The scripture is there for us. If we want to stop, rest, revive by studying the scripture, to survive the words and to survive what the devil says so that we can have eternal life. If we care to look. The word was talked about in the Sabbath school lesson this morning, that we have to study the word to make sure that we're good. Because if we do, we'll find little hidden truths. One of those little hidden truths for me, I don't know whether you think this, I find is in Psalm 119, and I'm going to read this, Psalm 119, 33 to 40. Psalm 119, 33 to 40. And it reads from the New King James Version, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law, and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for the laws are good. How long for your precepts? Preserve my life in your righteousness." Just a few little simple words there. But they bring meaning, and they mean comfort to me. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Isn't that what we're here about this morning? Teach me. Direct me in your paths of your commands. Look, the words are all through there. I could pick them out. I haven't got to pick them out. You know what I'm trying to say. Direct me in the paths. Turn my heart towards your statutes. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. In this world we live in today, there are a lot of worthless things everywhere around us. No matter where we go or what we see. Our actions. We see it everywhere. It's here. That is society today. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. There are other little texts in the Bible that you might like to look at. Come back to another one. One of my favourites is going to be the next one. Yes, I can't do this without this one. I learnt this. Come to Psalm 23. Yes, come on. I've got to go back to this one. This one is one of my favourites. Think of this particular verse, and I'm going to read this because I've got it. It's just so nice to me anyway. You know it. You could sing it in the song, but I'm not. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd. Just think about that. "I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you said to me, put some of the one of the most, all right, I'll do it another way. Put 1 to 10 on the board, putting 1 to 10, Psalm 23 would probably be in the first one or two in my calculator. That's just me. There are others. If you come over to Psalm, further come over to Psalm 34, we see it again. Now there are 22 verses to choose from. 22 verses to choose from. But I'm going to only just read a few. Psalm 34, verse 1, it reads this. I will extol the Lord, verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I like that word. His praise will always be on my lips. I don't want it to go around defaming the word of Jesus Christ, no way. I'm happy to stand here today to be able to do. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord, it says. Come over to verse number 19. This is one that caught my eye. Verse 19 in my Bible reads this. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. And so there is a promise to me, with that overview, stop, rest, revive, survive, that no matter what my troubles are in the world, be they spiritual, which they sometimes are, they need spiritual, physical, or anything else in the garden that you can't do right, or say me banging a nail on a fence and all that sort of thing. Yes, I've even found a way to do that. Use a drill, with a drill hole in it, I can get a bit of thought up here. I couldn't even cut a tomato once until I had an uncle that showed me how to do it. I can do it now. Without cutting myself, I can do it. You find a way of doing anything. Just think about that. You find a way. Where do we go from there? What do we see? Alright, I'm going to turn the board over now because I've got something on the back. But let's see if I can do this right. Probably won't. Oh, I did. Hooray. Here's another one. Psalm 46, verse... What have I got? 1. Psalm 46, verse 1, and look at the first three or four words. This leapt out at the page to me when I got this. Psalm 46, 1. Can, right? The first three words. This really got me. In the Bible it says, God is our refuge. You want to go and sit down here? Well, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. But if you follow that and read that, which I'll read from here, this talks about today and the day in which we live, today, right now. God, I'll read it again. God is our refuge and our strength. And ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Through the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the hearts of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Doesn't that describe in the world in which we live today? We have seen what happened in Queensland in January. We saw what happened here in Victoria about the same time. We've seen what happens with the tsunamis, with the earthquakes, with the men down at Beaconsfield a few years ago. And Tony Bullimore, twice, by the way, not the ones that we saw the other night, he did that the second time. Twice around the world and had to get saved. The seas, the earthquakes, it's all there in those words. So in actual fact, these words in the psalm today are effective as it was when it was written by David, as it is here today. But I need to have the assurance that I need to be able to read it here, because it's here. And so, what do I do? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. There are parts of New South Wales, particularly around the Charleston area in Newcastle, that some houses have actually sunk into the old coal mines because they've been dug out from underneath. Years ago, I was driving to Newcastle with a family once. We went up all right on the Pacific Highway, but we had to come back on a single lane because the road had sunk on one side. Into the coal mines had given away, and the houses that were on the ground were about 8-9 feet down to the coal mine. But this is what we're going to talk about later on. Are we in a situation where the foundations might be look all right on the top? Is our foundation all right down here? We'll sing about that later on in 5:22. Where do we go? Where do we stand? For though the waters roar, I think straight when I read that, what about the North Atlantic? 100-foot waves across the Cunard as they go across between America and England. 100-foot waves. Nothing to get across a bow. 100-foot wave. That's just nothing. That is a problem. It's interesting. You go and see. The world is an amazing place. An amazing place. This makes me think how wonderful and lucky we are to stand here, all of us, seated here this morning, that we are part of God's world in this life today. We might be insignificant and have nothing, think we've got no hairs and all this sort of thing, and be a bit senile and all that sort of stuff. It'd take longer to do things. But God knows how many hairs I haven't got on my head. Or know that when I put the garden waste in the bin, I might take a bit of skin off my hand and all that sort of thing. That's life. You live with these sort of things. We have to stop, revive and survive. I keep going over it because the number of times you see this on the Hume Highway or Henty Highway or something else, down in Victoria it says stop, take a power nap, doesn't it? You see it, right? There's some little thing here, some little thing there. You've got to think. Man is an engine. We have some of the best laws in Australia to stop people supposedly driving long distances and keep going and going and going. You have to take tablets. Certain bus drivers and train drivers, that I'm aware, tram drivers too, they can only work for 4 or 5 hours and that's it. That's their shift. They've got to have a break. And they're allowed to work 8 hours, but they must have a break 4 hours in. That's it. 4 or 5 hours, that's it. If I go to Sydney on the train, I can only go to June 8 because I get pulled off. No, not that I can go through, but because I've done my first 480 odd kilometres, I've got it pulled off for a fresh man. Because I'm aware that being a fresh man, he needs all the help he can get. I've got to be alert. I can relate a story this morning where I know in England years ago, where so many people were killed on a train at Clapham Junction. Because a man was on a mobile phone talking to a wife about a condition of one of his children that had an asthma attack. And there's about 20 odd people killed on the train because he'd taken his eye off the focus of what he had to do. We have to be careful. We have to be ever so careful. So the focus here is also to focus on Jesus Christ. Because if we focus on Jesus Christ, we have our eyes on the Master. If we don't focus on him, we're in trouble. If we're in trouble, I then come back to this one. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Time is getting on. Let's turn over to the book of Acts. To Acts. I've got one here that's going to be a little bit different. Be a Seventh-day Adventist, a place on this earth to be able to help people. Go out. And we have to do our little bit. Come to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And I'm going to read from verse 26 to 40. And I can't remember anyone talking about this particular subject here before, but I'm going to do it this morning. Talks in my Bible about Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury in Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture, and so it goes. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer was silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. I read on. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in the Azores or something like that, and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns that he reached. He reached Caesarea. I got that word wrong, but you know what I mean. Isn't that what we are supposed to be doing roughly today? Going about, doing our little bit of here, doing our little bit there, seeking out those who are in the world. You never know whose shoulder you rub up to sometimes and talk about things. I had a man come up to me and say the other day to me, he said, I see you're quite named regularly in the paper here in the Spectator. Oh? Yes, do you? I knew where he was coming from. He says, you quite regularly take the service here in Hamilton Seventh-day Adventist Church, don't you? Yes, yes, yes. He said, I'm an elder in the Uniting Church. He said, but I read all the notices in the church paper each week about the church. He said, I know what you are. I know this man personally. He said to me, he said, I'm interested in some of the titles you think of. I said, oh, that's the Lord doing the work of how you get the thoughts on. Sometimes I might open the Bible here, and I'm sure my colleagues on either side of me here, both elders, would say the same thing. We are led by the Spirit to a certain book in the Bible, because we need the assurance that there's something in there. One of the other things that was interesting to me about this was, it says the man had gone to Jerusalem. On his way home, he was sitting in the chariot reading the book. Now, isn't it quite nice sometimes to go out into the garden or sit by the sea and read the book of the Lord, or go into the room and pray over the Lord, Lord's book, and see what comes out, see what comes put into your mind? Sometimes we think we know things are going to happen in a certain way. But in the end, they don't turn out that way. They turn out completely different. Take me. I can mow a lawn. I said I couldn't once, but I can now. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. The more I study the Bible and the more I get into the Bible, the more understanding I get. Because I'm starting to realise that not just looking at the old King James that we had 57 years ago, the old black one, you know, that you see everybody carry around on the weekend under their arm when they're going out somewhere, that was a sign. You went out. If you were supposed to take a lady out of the thing, you'd go and pick the lady up and you'd have a Bible on the weekend. You'd have a Bible under your arm, didn't you? To impress the father. Yeah, it was done in England, I'm aware of that. But you'd turn up with the father, hey, I got it, I'm right, off you'd go. That's the way I'd done. Things change. I want the translation. When I was given my first translation of the Living Bible once, I thought, gee, wow, what a difference I've got. I had a whole new world. Then a few years ago, I got given the New King James one, where I had two Bibles on one page. What I'm trying to say is here this morning is this. The more we delve into the Bible, the more, if the Holy Spirit is with us, the more it becomes interesting. If it becomes interesting, we find little treasures there that our Lord has planted, or God has planted through our prophets and our writers in the Bible, has planted there for our enjoyment. And when they all piece together, there's a story. Some might go up and down like that. Some might just go along, just gently. It's interesting. I find it very, very interesting to be asked to say, by elders in the church, can you come and take a service? Can you do this? And I think, oh no, I can't do that. And then when you sit down on a Thursday night, a week or two before you've got to do it, well, presentation, you start to think, what am I going to do this time? Oh yeah, the Lord will work out something. Sure enough, He does everything. I'll say this, the Lord has never let me down with a thought every time I stand here on this desk on these days. Never. Once you get the basic notes, you know, you're probably the same one. Lord helps me. Where do I go? Oh, yes. I've just looked at the clock. Where are we going to end up? Where will I end up on this? Well, one could always finish with this, and then I'll go on to another little, couple of the parables. John chapter 14, 1 to 4. Come on, we all know this one. John chapter 4, 14. And I could almost remember saying this in JMVs. John 14, 1 to 4. My Bible says this in red ink, so it means Jesus is speaking. Jesus comforts His disciples. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, or mansions, whichever one you got. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you there with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way, the place where I am going. Isn't that a lovely word? Do not let your heart be troubled. That's a lovely thought. No matter what the problem is, you've got problems, health problems, or anything else. Do not let your heart be troubled. Where will I end up? All right. I'll close it with this particular parable. Luke chapter 8. This is a parable. As you can see, Luke chapter 8. Where have I got it? Eight and verses 4 to 15. Once again, Jesus is speaking. It talks about the parable of the sower. And I'm not going to read it all, I'm going to read from verse 4 onwards. Then a large crowd was gathered and the people were coming to Jesus. A town after town, He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate. The birds ate it all up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it but choked the plants. Still others, the seed fell on the good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than it was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what was this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but the others I speak in parables so that through seeing, they may not see. Through hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones you hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from the hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive it, the word, with joy, when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell amongst the thorns stands for those who hear, but they go out of their way, they are choked up by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with noble and a good heart, who hear the word, retain it by persevering to produce a crop. Isn't that parable what we are here about today? By persevering to produce a crop. We are charged by our Lord to go out into the streets and the cities around us to see if we can find people who are needing our help. They're out there, yes. All we've got to do is find them. All they need is a little bit of help. Some people say, I've got tunnel vision. Well, I'm glad that the tunnel, at the end of the tunnel vision that I can see, I can look for the cross of Jesus Christ. Sure, I've got tunnel vision. I'm a railway bloke. People know that. Retired. But my tunnel vision is, I look down that tunnel, I can see what Jesus did at Calvary 2,000 or so odd years ago. He did it for me. He did it for you. What does that mean? He's given me a chance at second life. Sure, I'm going to pass away and buried in the ground and all that sort of thing. If he doesn't come first, let's hope he does. But I have been given a chance at something far greater than anything possible by one man. He came down to become a baby on this earth, lived, was mocked. I go back straight away to our chapter in Isaiah 53 and go through all the words in the hand of Messiah. I'm just thinking, worthy, worthy, and all that sort of thing. It's coming to my mind. He was mocked, he was despised, rejected, all those words. In the end, he went to the cross. What I read in Acts, and the eunuch was reading just those words in the Bible in Isaiah. Isn't that what we are about today? That we have our Lord Jesus Christ? My focus point today is the Lord Jesus Christ. I must finish soon. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if I stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is going to be good. If I fall away from that, I am going to go somewhere else. Not very good. The other one I was going to do this morning was the parable of the rich fool. But I haven't had a chance. My time is gone. If you want to look it up, it's in Luke 12, 13 to 21. There is the parable of the rich fool. And if you bear with me, I'll just quickly read it. I think I can hear the Bible's rustling, so that tells me I'd better. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Once again, and I'm going to finish with this one. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus said, Man who appointed me a judge or the arbiter between you. Then he said unto them, Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. And he told them this parable. Ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. What he thought to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, This is what I'll do. I will tear down all my barns and build a bigger one. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, I'm saying from the Bible, mine says, You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have been prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who sows up, stores up the things for himself, but is not reached toward God. In other words, I read through that. Do I put the material things of my life before Jesus Christ? Now, I've written something down here. This might sound a bit crash, but I'm going to say it anyway. God is going to have to take some people to heaven feet first because they keep trying to hold on to everything they have on here on this earth. That they hold on to everything in this earth in preference to learning about Jesus Christ. Some people have more, dare I say it, Rolls Royces, Mercedes Benz, Volvos, Jaguars, stock shares, all that sort of stuff, sitting around their homes than anywhere else. Society has got today in which people will sit up half the day and night. I know a couple in Melbourne who they both work, and one of them, to take it on turns, sits up all night on their computer watching the stock market. So they know instant anything happens overseas to their stock, they can wake the partner up and they can make a decision. Isn't the world getting to a stage where it becomes mechanical or it's become that fast that anything happens now? Have we set sight of God? Have we pushed God aside and said not to worry about Him? No. I keep coming back to this. God is our refuge. I can feel a tug on the shoulder. Sit down. Coming up. God is our refuge. If God is our refuge, we need Him all the time. Not just some of the time. This is the reason I chose the hymns this morning. I need Thee every hour. Not this afternoon at 4 o'clock or tonight at 2100 or 2300. I need Him every hour. Don't you? We need Him as a people. We need to be with Him, to have the knowledge that Jesus is there for us, each and every one of us, regardless of what the problem is. By staying alert, being alive, I'm able to go back to the other page, and I can say to myself, if I have all these things here, and Jesus Christ, I can stop, rest. Yes, the Bible tells me to do that. I can then revive with the Word of God, and I can survive with the good things that Jesus has taught me in that particular Bible. That's my choice. If I want to stray off the path and go somewhere else, that's my sad lot. But God has given us the Word of God. I'm sorry, God has given us the Word so that we might enjoy it and be fulfilled. Because nothing's given me a greater pleasure this morning to become amongst friends, to talk amongst friends. Because I feel I'm at home today amongst my friends. I can talk freely here. It's nice. And I hope that this service this morning, presentation, will give you some thoughts. As it's given me some thoughts this week, as I've been thinking about it, that we can go forth from this place this morning better people for it. Stop, rest, revive, and survive. Think of me and my tunnel vision. I've got a focus. I've done the focus one here before. But I want to focus on the cross of Calvary. Focus on what Jesus Christ did for me. If Jesus Christ has done that for me, He's done it for you. But it has to be willing. It just comes to my mind now, Revelation 3:21. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in. But I have to go like that to reach up in prayer and understand. I don't. I'm lost. It's up to me. The decision is mine. And mine alone. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, with the words of that last hymn ringing in our ears this morning, particularly the last verse, I would like to consecrate myself to the Lord again here this morning and ask that if You so desire that You do it also. Thank You, Heavenly Father, that You've shown us the way through Your blood, through Calvary, and what You did for us 2,000 years ago at Easter. We remember You, Lord, but we have to understand that You are there always for us, that we have to reach up, Lord, if we so desire. For if we so desire You, Lord, You are there, or You are our refuge, our strength. you are there for us. Lord, take every head bowed here this morning. Give us the remaining good Sabbath days. Please, Lord, bless Olivia this morning particularly. And take us again here, you know, through the Sabbath day, and bring us back here again at the next meeting. I ask these things in thy name. Amen.